Welcome to Minority Corner.
With Aneke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay,
and ladylike.
She's a lady.
And he's a gay. Too much.
We need to just end it on that.
This week on Minority Corner.
What are you talking about, James?
Ooh, Aneke, as promised, I promised this last year, and it's coming back into this year.
You are paying those receipts right now, cashing in those
dividends. Cashing it in, yep, because it's the new year. I want to start off with some good credit with the Corner Kids.
Yes.
And so, as promised, we're going to talk about the history of homosexuality in Africa. We're going to dispel some myths that, you know, there's this theme that, like, oh, the colonizers brought homosexuality, or was it always there because people always been gay? We'll find out.
Oh, I am interested in that.
Ooh, and I've got a Quizlet Corner for you that's gonna bust it out into the new year. Did J-Lo finally win the battle between her and Mariah this New Year's Eve? We're going to talk about Black Lives Matter and what's going on with Vivica Fox and her new club. Are gays not allowed? We'll find out all up in Quizlet. All right, well, let's get into it. There's so much to discuss with this new year. And
I know.
Just like Mariah Carey, we didn't have rehearsals, so who knows what could happen.
Sometimes shit happens.
Exactly.
To quote Mariah Carey.
Yes. Put it on a pillow. Let's do it.
Oh man, 2017, we are here, we are back.
With feeling.
What, you don't like that?
Well, you just...
That was me being like...
Oh, was that your pep?
Introspective.
Oh,
that
okay.
Was just like, 2017.
Because you're...
Instead of like, 2017!
Because you're a wiser woman now. Since we last met, you have... Since become a year older.
I'm a year older.
A full year, is that how that works? Isn't that weird?
A whole year has passed.
Isn't that weird when they say that? They're like, oh, you're a full year older. No, I'm just a few more days older. But you know.
Yeah, I've been progressing towards this age all year long. It's not like it's all of a sudden...
Surprise.
Wa-bam.
Yeah. I hope everybody had a good Kwanzaa. I had a good Kwanzaa.
You did.
I was trying to do the most Kwanzaa I could. As predicted, it was very hard for me to celebrate Kwanzaa in England because I was in Plymouth. So for everybody who doesn't know, I went to go to England for the holidays. That's why Aneke and I recorded like mass episodes before the winter break.
Yes. Yes.
And so I was in Plymouth, and it's a coastal town on like the southwest of England, and not a lot of black people.
Where is the Dover? What is it? Isn't
there is
like
a Dover? There's an all
something of Dover.
Sure. Yeah, that is a place. Not near where I was. But it's down in the southwest.
Oh,
but I did get to FaceTime my mom for the first day of Kwanzaa. That was really nice.
Yeah, you told me that was really special that you were able to talk about the principles of the first day with her.
Yes. And then I tried to do it. My brother was also doing it, but he was like, that's okay. We got a book. We're doing it on our own. I'm like, the point of Kwanzaa is to do it as a family.
He's like,
we got this.
I'm doing this.
He's like, don't worry. I got this. So
I don't need your help. I got this. I got a book. You know what?
But
I can't be mad at that. At least he did it.
You know what? Yeah. And so this, it was a last minute Kwanzaa preparation this year. So next year, I'm ready.
Yeah, I feel like I'm primed on it. Like I spent each day kind of thinking about each principle and trying to practice each principle. Buying at black owned stores.
Ooh, what'd you buy?
I walked into the store.
You'll buy later. It was window shopping day.
You know what? I visited the store, and I think that's more,
It's shop smart, because you are, you're not going to impulse. You're not going to impulse buy. The part of Kwanzaa isn't to go broke.
Thank you.
Isn't to like...
I am on a budget.
So you're just being smart, you know, and you'll go back later.
I'm being smart, but I also was like, I see you, store. I know you. And I helped advertise for... there is a store in Brooklyn, too. There's a woman who is doing a book collective, Black Women in Brooklyn, and I reposted that on Facebook.
Helping her out, helping her get that money her way. So there it is. Next, and I posted every day on Facebook to help people, because people were like, and people had no idea what Kwanzaa was about. I did get a troll. I did get a fucking...
I know.
I got it.
But remember, you can't feed those trolls, because this is the same troll. This is like your regular troll. If like you were Cheers, this would be like...
He is my one regular troll who is a step away from the outright, if not cheerleader of the squad. He is also my my gay for Trump guy. And I finally have unfriended him. I was holding strong because I was like, but there just was no point. I was just like, if you're trolling me, me over Kwanzaa, like, get out of my face.
Anybody who has a problem with Kwanzaa is racist. I'm just going to say that. Nobody should have a problem with Kwanzaa.
It's the quick litmus test. Like, some people are not sure, but the minute they're like, well, boo Kwanzaa, or like, this was created for greeting cards, out of my face.
Just get out of here.
Because you don't know what you're talking about.
It's like this one woman that I met recently, and she had this beautiful jacket on. At least I thought it was beautiful. And I go, ooh, I really like that jacket. And she was like, oh, yeah, this is my friend litmus test. And she was like, anybody who doesn't like this jacket doesn't like lesbians. And I was like, well, I like that jacket. And she was like, and you're my friend.
And you're my friend. That's awesome.
Oh, so, yes.
You know what I saw when I was over in the old country, England? I don't know. It's old.
Okay.
Everything's hella old over there. But yeah, so I went, I was spending time with my ex from like years and years and years ago. We're really good friends. We spend the holidays together. His family is lovely.
Can you transition and just call him your friend now?
No, because it doesn't do justice to like what we are. It just doesn't the same.
You just like a little bit of drama, though. You like a little bit of story with your story.
Because it's cut to the chase. Because we're not just friends, and we're not like, it just, this works for me.
You want a sexy twinge to the side of your story.
Oh my God. You are like Donahue-ing me. Remember Donahue?
Of course. I've been listening to Making Oprah, another great podcast where they talk about Donahue. All you young babies need to listen to that. Get acclimated with Oprah and understand why she's so important.
She is. Can we circle back to Oprah? Because there's something I want to talk about.
Yes.
We can always circle back to Oprah. But I saw...
I'm ready, always.
I saw the... So I went to the West End.
Theatre District of London. Right.
It's like the Broadway of London. It is like, and it's amazing. It's really cool. And like everybody in England goes to theater. Ticket prices are reasonable. Mm. They just grow up going. It's like not just a touristy thing. Like everybody goes to the theater.
Can I pause you? Are you saying English people like all over England or just Londoners?
Londoners, sure. Yeah.
Because like I'm sure somebody from like butt ass. England, Cliff Dune areas, probably.
Sure, but I live in New York, and how many people go to the theater? They don't. Tourists go, and if you're in the industry, you might go. But, like, what I thought was very refreshing, people don't go. The tickets are too expensive. And so what
My
I thought was...
My family goes all the time.
Okay, well, I'm living here in New York, I'm telling you that for me personally, I'm not finding a lot of people that actually, like, really go to the theater. As much as, like, when I was in London, like, everybody just goes, and it's so much more a part of the cultural history there. And the prices, like, are also, like, so incredibly reasonable. Like, Broadway's fucking expensive.
That's good that they're reasonable. I also need to hook you up with my family so you have more theater goers to go with.
Yes, absolutely.
My grandma's waiting.
Tell her to text me or Facebook me.
Okay.
But why did I go see at the West End? I saw The Bodyguard,
which
in its closing days. Bodyguard, the musical, if you don't know, this thing is a tour de force around Europe. They fucking love the shit out of it. Because when I was in Amsterdam, they were like all about The Bodyguard. It is huge.
I can't handle that this movie is now a musical that is a smash hit in Europe.
And you know, I'm sure you're thinking, like, what were the songs about? Was it like
Queen of the Night, of course, right?
Fuck yes.
Yes.
And surprisingly, I was like, what are the songs going to be like? And it's like, it is a West End smash hit. And
yes,
it was actually just a Whitney Houston tribute. All the songs were just Whitney Houston songs, actually.
James.
So you had, and I, before, when I,
James,
when,
that's whack.
When I sat down, I was like, God, I really want to listen to, I Want to Dance with Somebody. And then you had, I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Stop it.
It was a big.
Stop it. They it only used big, Whitney Houston.
It was a big rehearsal number. It was a big rehearsal number. And here's the thing that I saw when I went to the West End. I had a great time. And what I learned is,
yeah,
I can be on the West End.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I will tell you this, as I thought the show was great, but the bar was, how do I say this nicely?
Here we go, a little bit of shame.
The choreography, I was like, oh, I can definitely be a dancer at the West End. And I consider myself to be a dancer, but I am not, like, classically trained or anything like that. But it was a lot of body rolls.
So,
I'd say it was the equivalent of, like, really, really, really good college-level musical. Like, really good college, university-level musical.
James.
So guess who's moving to London? This guy.
Are you telling me that the reason why West End tickets are affordable compared to Broadway?
I did not draw that connection. I did not draw that connection. I did not try the connection, but I did meet this guy in the bar, this like younger, you know, black actor guy. And he was just listing.
You mean the pub?
In the pub. Yes. And he was just listing, like, his way of flirting with me was just listing all the shows that he's been in. And I was like, okay.
Ew. But he's been in. Get that guy out of my face.
But then I saw The Bodyguard and I was like, oh, I get it. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, okay, that makes sense.
Everybody gets a turn. So I'm going to get some New York credits in the next 5 years. I'm going to London.
And then you're going to be a star in the Bodyguard. Oh, did I tell you that I saw a musical in the West End? Like years.
Wait,
what
did you see?
I saw Starlight Express.
Oh my God. I've seen snippets of this because
it's
it was terrible. On my cruise ship.
It's the worst.
It's a terrible
thing.
Musical.
It doesn't make
Can
any
you explain,
sense.
Well, what's it about? Explain it for the listeners.
Okay, all right. It's about this little boy who you never see. You just hear his disembodied voice.
And off to a great start.
It's his train set. And the train set are just people on roller skates.
Okay.
And they each have, like, personalities. And there's, like, a weird one where they're, like, AC/DC and they're twins. And they talk about, like, how they can plug into different things. It is, like, the weirdest shit. And they're just basically, like, skating around in, like Silver Lame outfits.
Ooh.
And, like, being, like, Starlight Express. Ah! Like, it makes no sense. It is the weirdest shit.
This is Andrew Lloyd Webber, right? Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Oh, completely. See, it's like Cats. It's exactly like Cats, where you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Andrew Lloyd Webber is literally, like, the M. Night Shyamalan of musicals. It's like he did one great thing with, like, Phantom of the Opera, right? And then,
which is still questionable.
Yeah, there's some weird shit. But he just keeps making crazy ass shit like that. Like, I'm sure, see, West End. You saw that show at the West End. See, I'm on my way. I'll put some roller skates on and skate around.
Hey, I'll go see you. You know what you need to be in, though?
What?
You need to be in that fucking Harry Potter play, because apparently that shit is amazeballs.
It does. You walk outside the theater of it, and it's like spooky Harry Potter magic.
Oh, I love it!
But The Bodyguard, there's only two characters that sing. It's just the, Rachel?
Rachel. Whitney Houston?
Well, Whitney Houston's character, I think, is named, like, Rachel Wellingwood or something. I don't know. Rachel Wonderful?
I'll believe it, sure. Yeah, Rachel Wonderful.
And then her sister, I will say, her sister sometimes sings, because her sister's like, I could be a singer too. And then it was just her and her sister singing.
James, wait, are you telling me that there's a whole stage production that's dubbed as a musical that only uses Whitney Houston music and only has two people singing?
Yes, although The Bodyguard does try to sing and he sings terribly at the karaoke. They go to a karaoke bar.
This sounds ridiculous.
I also tell you the production values was a little low, because some of the costumes, I was like, are those his jeans?
Stop it!
Are they supplying some of their own costumes? Or they just have, like, a costume bin, they're just like, okay, we're gonna use these jeans for you.
Oh my god.
Again, I just was inspired, because I was like, oh fuck, I can fucking do this. Like, I am ready to go right now to the West End.
It sounds like you're above it. I don't know. How do you have a musical and they're just like, just this one lady's going to be singing Whitney
with
Houston
lots
songs?
Lots of body rolls. And the actress, everybody in England's like, they raved about her. And even on the poster, it's like, she is the best thing ever. And maybe it's just because it was like, she was running towards the last few days. I think her name is like Elizabeth Warren.
She's no. Was she tired? Yeah, it was Elizabeth Warren.
She was tired.
Politician in America brought West End Star in London. They
were like Elizabeth Berkeley. No, that's the...
Nope. Try again.
Elizabeth something, I think. Anyways, she was tired. She was like, I'm ready to be done.
Because she has to sing all the damn songs. That's why.
It's true. You're right. Everybody else just kind of stretches and shows up. And there's this one.
Like, oh, hey.
There's like the other security guard who's like this bigger guy. And he just kind of like, he does one dance move at the end and didn't get it right. He has one bit of choreography. He couldn't get it right. And like, how amazing. What? How amazing, because you could be a not singer and get this West End credit. Isn't that amazing? You're like, I was in a musical.
I know.
Didn't sing.
Maybe you do need to go to London. This sounds like...
I am going to be king.
You just keep going east. You're just like eventually, going east eventually around I'll be the back. Whole planet.
Yeah. After that, like, you know, Beijing is next. Then I'll end up in Tokyo. And then I'll be back in San Francisco. So
I know.
Not a bad plan.
No, not bad at all, actually.
All right. Shall we get into the corners?
I am ready for some corner, hot, sexy corner action.
It is sexy because we're talking about the history of... gay homosexuality as opposed to straight homosexuality.
I know. I was like, that's a lot of adjectives.
well, actually, it might come back to play because perhaps different cultures define things differently. So let's find out.
I like that. Let's like that a lot.
See,
okay, let's do it.
I spin that. All right, here we go.
Okay, I have one more question.
Is it about the bodyguard?
Yes.
Can I? Yes. What's your question?
How are their American accents?
Oh, they were from all different places of America. It was pretty great.
Oh, they weren't from England?
No, they were, but their accents were from different parts of America.
Oh, stop it.
And it was sort of like True Blood. You know, like all those actors come in, they're all from different parts of Louisiana, apparently, or the South. Yeah.
So, the worst Southern accents.
The girl playing Whitney Houston was a little bit Southern, and then the bodyguard was from New York, right? And
Southern.
They were just, the accents were just, I asked Paul, I was like, are they? And see, that's the thing. I can come to the West End and just be like, hey, everybody, this is my normal voice. I'm ready.
Exactly.
No weird accent necessary.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So and good.
Also, just to cap off, like, she's a lovely girl. She's very talented, but I will say because she's supposed to be this pop star, and it starts off with this huge bang, which, and like everybody in the audience just jumps, right? And we're like, why the fuck did you
scare you?
Yeah, it was terrifying. And like a big gun in the theater. I guess you couldn't do that in America because people would freak out. But this woman...
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
This woman, I would say she was more of a Kelly Rowland than a Beyonce. I'm going to just...
Not to diss Kelly Rowland.
Kelly Rowland's great, but you and I both know Kelly Rowland ain't Beyonce. She's performing.
Beyonce is selling out stadiums. What's Kelly Rowland doing? Love you, Kelly Rowland.
Love you. Come on the show because you got time. So, come on. Yeah. Starting the new year off with some new feuds.
Burning bridges.
Move over Jennifer Hudson.
We can never
Hudson.
Go to the West End.
Move over
we can never hang out with Kelly Rowland now.
Kelly Rowland, Jennifer Hudson can't do it. All right. So I was reading this article from The Guardian by, I'm going to butcher their name because that's what we do still in this new
it's
year.
It's what we do.
Bernardine Evaristo. And
that
they
sounds
wrote,
fine.
They felt, yeah. They wrote this article just kind of talking about the idea that, you know, about African homosexuality. Was it a colonial import? And he's pretty much saying it's a myth. That is a myth. So a lot of people
in
like,
Africa. So gay culture in Africa.
That like homosexuality was brought in by colonialization. That it wasn't.
And that is a myth.
That is an absolute myth. And I'm going to prove it. I'm a myth bust the shit out of this. First of all, how many countries do you think are in Africa?
A lot.
Okay, you're right. 54.
That's the thing that, and I'm glad you brought that up because I'm so pissed off at people equating Africa as a country. Mm-mm. It is a continent, assholes. Mm-hmm. There are several countries in Africa, meaning a variety of cultures.
Cultures and people. 54, which is a lot. There's a population of 1 billion in the continent of Africa.
That's a lot of damn people.
And so there's been this, like, in a lot of these countries, though, have this sort of shared sort of idea that homosexuality is un-African. And it's sort of like this white disease is a quote that gets thrown around a lot throughout Africa. So
that's weird.
Where is that coming from? And if we really look at it, most of us, I'm sure, listening to the podcast, understand this, that homosexuality is has a universal reach. There's no limits. Every culture has a history because it's also just science. There are like gay penguins.
Because it's natural, it's a human, it's how humans work.
Right. So there's this myth that before colonialization of Africa, it was free of homosexuality, which this idea has helped to perpetuate, you know, these laws that exist now in Nigeria, which, you know, carry like a 14-year prison sentence of same-sex marriage.
14 years?
Don't do it. Don't let someone see that, right?
Oh, my God.
And there were the 33 men in Egypt who were arrested for attending a gay wedding. I think they're still in prison. When I was in Morocco, I got this warning when I fired up my scruff, and it was like, you might die. Like, it was like, danger. Don't.
Oh my God. You're in a country. Flash flood warning or something. It's like, dude,
exactly. Yeah. It was pretty intense. And then even in Uganda, you know, they have these like anti-homosexuality acts. And so where was this really coming from? And that, you know, in a lot of like in the recent decades where a lot of this has perpetuated and even gone even further, this anti-homosexuality, because you have the Latter-day Evangelicals who are coming over to Africa and they're giving them, you know, their Mormon religion, and a part of the Mormon religion
is anti-.
Anti-gay. Not saying all Mormons are, you know, some.
No, not all, but it's a huge part.
A huge part of it. Yeah.
Let's be as honest and open as possible. A lot of religions, especially Christian-based religions, are anti-gay.
Absolutely.
Let's just say it.
Well, and that's the
thing. It's a problem.
It is. And also, it's funny because, I mean, this poor continent, which has been just ransacked by so many different groups of outsiders and people who have just enslaved it and then also put their own indoctrinations and ideas into this culture. Like, both, you have it from both religions too, from Christianity and even like Islamic religions as well, that flooded into, because they have their own cultures and their own religions and their own ideas before both Christianity and, you know, Muslim traditions came in and flooded it with these ideas of what they were doing was wrong, you know?
And the reason why is because it's a continent full of resources. The only reason this is happening is because it's rich in resources. Oil, minerals, human labor, all of that. It's just been all of these countries trying to suck dry this beautiful, rich in resources continent.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which is why, like, I'm really inspired to just, you know, I think it was maybe with Kwanzaa, of like wanting to get deeper into this beautiful, rich continent that has been just so ransacked and also at the same time vilified and demonized, and people just take what they want from it. And so trying to get to the roots of this beautiful continent that has been raped and pillaged, essentially.
It's true.
There are two works that are out that I'm interested in reading there that talk about this, if you're interested.
Yes.
I have a little mini list.
I love it.
Here's my mini list. It's a book list, too. So there's two works that are out. One is called Boy Wives and Female Husbands, which is edited by Stephen O. Murray and Will Roscoe. And the second one is Homosexual Africa with a question mark.
Huh. Okay, cool.
By Mark Eppert. Yeah. So like we were just kind of talking about, from the 16th century and onwards, you know, homosexuality has actually been recorded by in Africa by European missionaries. So folks who were coming in and they were, you know, seeing these African societies, they needed Christianity for Christian cleansing. Yeah. Oh, so they were like,
bring light to the dark continent bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, they're butt fucking each other. Makes me feel uncomfortable because I secretly want to join in.
Yes, that's the brood of it.
I am turned on by all this butt fucking and titty licking that I see.
And I don't know what to do with it, so I'm going to hate it.
So it actually really started with my people, the Portuguese. I was going to do a what, but this is boo. The Portuguese.
I'm going to let that just like sit right there.
You know, Portugal just sort of sits in its own corner now, but they were also...
They were a hardcore colonizer. Fucked up.
And now they just kind of like stick to themselves. You know, well, they're some of the first explorers to go off to the continent.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to explore the continent, which I fucking hate that statement. Explore the fucking... It's already... I hate that idea. There's already people there. There's nothing for you to explore.
Right.
Or discover.
I mean, or if it was actually honestly exploring, if they were going to just be like, ooh, look at this. This is beautiful. I'm going home now. No, you're scouting to steal shit. That's what you're doing. You're casing the joint. You're casing the joint
and making it your own as if these people never really existed. Where there's like, it just breaks my heart because I'm also, you know, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but I am watching this documentary about, you know, Egyptians and whatnot. And there's just so much like history that has just been sort of lost in ideas and ways of thinking by, you know, you look at Europe, it's like this really tiny part of the world.
Teeny.
But has really like had their hands in all over the world and is really like fucked up. Right. And like, and I'm just coming back from Europe and I even notice it even more. And, you know, it's fun to go to now or whatever, but like they've had their hands and colonized all over. They've taken resources and fucked up, you know, cultures and countries. And now they want to just be like, oh, you know, I just want to keep to myself after you done fucked up everything.
Yeah. Your hands were all in all of our cookie jars.
Yes.
And now you want to act like, oh, my bad. I'm just,
I'm just going to back out of here. Okay. Whatever. Yeah. So, but the Portuguese missionaries that were going out, they said that they found a range of gender relations in African societies.
So, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, but they saw it as like an evil, bad thing. Wow. So they cited unnatural damnation of male-to-male sex in the Congo.
Unnatural damnation? Jesus Christ.
And that there's this one English traveler, he wrote, I'm not going to say his name because we all know... It's so sad because there's all these, you know, folks from Africa that we don't know their names because all of their documents and it's all been destroyed.
Right.
And so I'm tired of perpetuating, you know, these other names. Well, anyways, he cited that, you know, men were wearing women's apparel. They just didn't give a fuck down there. They didn't have the same gender conforms and ideas that we have. Sounds like a dope ass fucking place to me.
It sounds tight. Right? And also here's the sad part is we don't know which tribes and stuff like that because it's all so lumped together. Like look at Europe. Right. There's like you were just saying, Europe is tiny and yet we're like, oh, German, Italian, English, Welsh, Irish, you know, like they get like classifications. Africa needs to be like, you know, we need to divide it up the same way.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a difference between, like, you know, Ethiopian culture and, you know, South African culture.
And like, Congolese and stuff.
And Congolese, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, like, yeah, down, like, Madagascar and Ethiopia, there was transvestism. So, like, there was, you know, more gender fluidity that was happening there.
Cool.
And among the Pangui people of present-day Cameroon and Gabon, homosexual intercourse, gay sex was practiced between males of all ages.
Oh.
And it was believed to be a way to transmit wealth.
Through the penis?
So sign me up. Sign me up. I want all the I would become such a slut. I'd be like, I'm getting wealth.
I'm getting wealthy right now as we speak.
Sign me up. And interesting idea. The Nizma of Ghana had, but you know, it's like law of attraction because like I think that would happen for someone and they would just believe it and then they become wealthy. So, you know,
sure. Whatever
works.
You know what?
Whatever works.
Yeah.
The Nizma of Ghana had a tradition of adult men marrying each other. And so there'd be like a 10-year age difference, similar to the sort of like ancient Greece, the pederasty of ancient Greece. So you had a similar situation of that.
Yeah, like an apprenticeship, but touching butts.
But I'm going to touch your butt too, but I'm also going to train you into like how to be a man. And so there's like a lot of pride in that. And then even in the Sudan Zandi tribe, warriors married boys and paid a bride price for them. So the same way that they would pay for a girl bride. So you could either like, oh, I want your young boy or I want your young girl. And they would pay for these children. Well, not children, but like young.
I can't be like, oh, that's great for this one. This one's problematic, James.
Well, because of our new ideas. But at the time, but it was like very, I think, a beautiful tradition. Because then when the young boy would grow up, he too would become a warrior. And so he would get trained as, you know, his husband guy. And then the young boy would then take on a boy wife. So they were called boy wives.
But what about women? What are we doing? Good question.
That is literally
kind of hanging out.
That is literally my next question. What about the ladies?
Yes.
What about
the
ladies? Ladies, you're being gay too. So ladies, let me tell you about you. In the same tribe, lesbianism was practiced in like polygamous households. So there'd just be like a big household full of people, and they'd just be like, "Hey, you." And ladies would be doing it too. And then even in So ladies are being gay too. And in the 18th century of Kiyokoi of South Africa, there's two different terms. There was one, I'm going to butcher this. It's kotusire, which means men receptive to other men.
Okay.
And then there's sorogies for a friendship of same-sex masturbation. That is cute.
I don't know.
I could go for some sorogies. It's fun.
I just feel like masturbation is like a solitary act, but that just could be my colonized mind.
See, you need to uncolonize your mind and go get your lady friends, and y'all need to go and masturbate with each other.
That just sounds so boring.
Your next lady brunch, just turn it into like, you know, girls, you need to get together and bond.
A little tap tap zone.
Sharing in this. And then also in Egypt, there was the Siwa. It was considered a boy's rite of passage. It was considered a boy's rite of passage to, like, you know, engage with sex with another man. And woman-to-woman marriages involving a bride price existed in more than 30 African societies, from Nigeria to Kenya to South Africa.
Oh, so ladies, wow.
Gay lady marriages were happening. So,
you know what? Mm-hmm. I have no problem. I was going to say the problem that I do have is, like, the kids thing. Anytime I'm like, leave the kids alone. But I love the versatility, and that's how we need to be in modern society, where it needs to be like, I want to marry a woman or I want to marry a man. Who gives a fuck? That's just who I want to marry. That's what it needs to be like.
Yeah. Right? And these cultures just had a much more different fluidity, and they probably were like a lot less stressed out. Because you think about all these different rules and regulations that we have, everyone's stressed the fuck out, and it creates all these like wars and shit. It's like, calm down, less rules and regulations for yourself, because you're setting the bar up so high you can't even reach it.
It's
so
true.
This goes back really, really far. Apparently, if you just look at the rocks, because thousands of years ago they have all these cave paintings, in sand of Zimbabwe. Look at the rocks, Aneke, they'll tell you.
You need to consult the rocks.
Well, what do the rocks say? Well, they had depictions of anal sex between men on the paintings. So this is like thousands of years ago, and they were like,
okay.
So it's like either like wall pornography, or they're just like, damn,
it's like
I had
a bathroom.
Some good,
bathroom I had some. Wall.
Yeah, I had some good sex. I want to tell someone about it.
Just gonna doodle
painting.
This.
So, like I said earlier, you know, Christian and Islamic forces pretty much eradicated all of these ideas they wiped these indigenous social and religious systems and demonized and persecuted homosexuality in Africa.
Yeah, but they kept that little kid shit. That's the thing that I don't like. Mm. All across the world, everybody's like trying to have sex with little kids. Stop it.
That's true. Stop doing that. Yeah, they
Stop
kept
it.
That part. So from the writer, this writer of this article, Evaristo, they have this book coming out, and it's called Mr. Loverman. And they have this really great quote that they said, it's homophobia, not homosexuality, that was imported to Africa.
Ooh, I like that quote.
And look at all the snaps. And someone else took it a step further. I can't pronounce their name, but they quoted Kendall K. Lamacasto as saying, homophobia is far more likely to qualify as un-African than homosexuality. Homophobia is certainly the product of a certain class of white folk arising from a particular culture, which only seems normative to us because we are blinded by it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And just to wrap up, I just wanted to, you know, there's all this, I don't want to paint like such a net, like there are still positive things that are happening in terms of LGBT rights and fluidity of sexuality in Africa.
Cool.
South Africa has had gay weddings. The Bastho women. They may not call themselves lesbians, but will, you know, sometimes get together and rub and fondle and have oral sex with each other, like with the other ladies. And they
to give it a title. It's the fluidity of it that makes it natural.
See, that's the thing, is that other cultures don't have the same terminology. So they don't view it as homosexuality. They just view it as loving each other and having a nice time together. And they're
great.
And so they'll call each other, like, actually, these Bastho women have a tradition of having special friends, quote unquote, who choose each other. And then they have an elaborate feast celebrating the commitment between them.
That's a wedding.
They just call it different things.
I know.
But what's cool about, especially the Bastho women, is that it hints to traditions, to past traditions of the past that have still managed to stick around even past pre-colonial past, you know?
Yeah, like the traditions before the colonizers came that have persevered. Those are the most important. Those are the ones that really show the history of the culture.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then if you kind of like look at like where Africa is right now, it's like, if you think about it, I think it makes sense why there is such governmental pushback towards homosexuality, because, you know, you had colonialism that came in and they were like, no, this is bad. And then they're like, you know, we don't want you to, you know, to do all this, like, you know, gay shit. And then these governments, these cultures had everything taken away from them and stripped. And so now you have governments like the U.S. and even European countries who are coming in and be like, hey, you know, allow gay stuff and don't persecute the gays. And these cultures are like, fuck you and your no. You came in centuries ago.
You've already taken enough.
They see it as neo-colonialism. So these African governments, I think, have a huge pushback to anything that's coming in from westernized societies, because so they are having their own awakening that so much was taken away from them. It's just...
Man.
So it's a weird sort of thing, because it's like, now we're saying, go be gay, but before they were like doing it before, and we were, you know? Right. And so it's, again...
James, that's crazy. That is like, that's so... fucked up. This is whenever anybody's like, oh, colonialism, blah blah blah, why do you have a problem with it, this is it right this here is this it. Is the ricochet of it. This is this is what happens when the repercussion that happens hundreds of thousands of years later. This is crazy.
And this is just, I mean, and this is just Africa. And like, I just want to hug. I want to just give the continent of Africa, like, I want to like an Africa pillow, and I just want to hug it, because that poor this magical continent has such beauty and energy and culture. Just so much of it has been lost and taken away and just sort of muddled. It was like dough that people just used and then just discarded and left behind. And it just... Africa's still trying to now recover and refigure itself out as a continent and as, you know, so
I can't even, it's like, it's such a tragedy. It's the tragedy of colonialism is how Africa is right now, which is why we all need to see Black Panther and the potential of what an uncolonized civilization would have looked like.
Oh my God. Absolutely. Because like, I'm even like seeing some stuff from like Egypt, like, those Egyptians, I think, had some amazing technology that is completely lost to us, that, like,
Is
on the levels of, like, Wakanda, like, you know, Wakanda shit, you know?
I was surprised to learn recently that Egypt was around for, like, 2,000, 4,000 years?
3,000 years. 3,000 fucking years. Like, that's insane. And, like, who knows? Their fucking pyramids are probably teleportation devices to another dimension. They were like, peace, I'm out.
Right? They were like, this shit's getting wacky. We need to...
I'm out again. Also, just to point out, there are LGBT activists in Africa, and they are taking their cues from the U.S., but in a different way. See, in the U.S., LGBT activism in the last, like, 10 years has been a huge push for marriage equality, but... what sucks about that is that, you know, as we talked about on the show before, 40% of homeless youth are LGBT in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
And so African activists actually are placing their focus on the removal of archaic colonial laws that criminalize homosexual activity, as well as fair access to housing, employment, and healthcare are on the priority list. So I think that's really dope, as opposed to like, they're like,
that.
Marriage. Okay, no. There's other things. Like, their priorities
we need to get
are...
some housing. We need to get some basic needs taken like, care of.
Stop putting me in jail for this shit. Like, that's what they're going for.
So, I love it.
I hope you all enjoyed that history of African homosexuality. It's such a huge cornerstone of, I think, just world history there. And so my message to Africa, be gay, y'all. It is part of your heritage.
It's a part of your history. And the fact that you're anti it might be because you have a colonized mind happening.
So actually, you need to get back to your roots and maybe go, you know, if you're a lady, go lick some boobies. And if you're a dude, go suck a dick.
Those are two very different. You don't know the female body, do you?
It's been a while. It's been a while since college. You know, have your...
It's been some years.
It's been some time.
There's a thing called the vagina that gives a little bit more pleasure than the boobies.
What? My mind is blown. I thought that my segment blew my mind, but now this, I just
love the difference where it's like, one is like, yes, get an orgasm. The other is like, yeah, warm me up.
I don't know. Get me a pamphlet. I'll look over it.
Yeah, well, you and Lincoln, love yourself some pamphlets.
The pamphlets are life-changing.
That's true. Quizlet Corner.
Get it, girl. She got it. She got it. She's in it to win it. She's gargling. She's going up. She's Jennifer Hudson. She's Mariah Carey. No. Okay. All right, here we go. One of these is not true for a brand new year. Can you feel a brand new quiz?
Yes. I love it.
I'm going to be in the West End version of The Wiz.
I'll
play Dorothy.
You got that on lock.
I can't hit those notes for home, but that's okay. I can body roll. All right, here we go. This Quizlet might get controversial, so here we go for a new year.
Uh-oh, here we go. I'm ready.
Number one, could be true, could not be true. Could be true, could be false. Vivica.
Yeah, did you just say could be true, could be true?
Yes. You never know with Quizlet. All right.
No, keep me on my toes. New year, new Quizlet.
All right. Vivica A. Fox said no gays are allowed at her new male stripper venue in Vegas, but has since apologized. Could be true, could not be true. Mm-hmm. Number two, Frank Ocean's mom wants Kim Burrell, gospel singer, cut from her son's album Blonde after homophobic rant. Could be true. Mm. Could not be true. Number three, J-Lo may have gotten the final word between her and Mariah by slaying it minutes before Mariah's debacle on New Year's Eve. Could be true. Could not be true. And number four, the horrific Facebook Live assault had everything to do with Black Lives Matter.
Obviously, the last one is not true.
Actually, and there's another one. I wrote this wrong, so we're starting the new year off great.
Yeah.
So what I meant was, actually, there's another hidden bonus one. Another one of these is also not true.
Oh, okay.
So you got, yeah.
Oh, there's another one that's not true?
Yeah. 50% of these questions were lies. Which one?
Well, I know for a fact. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to Slumdog Millionaire it and talk it out.
All right.
So Vivica Fox definitely said some disparaging things about gay guys coming to her nasty-ass weird strip joint thing that she's trying to do. Every time that commercial comes on the TV, Andrew, my husband, seems like, is always manages to walk by, and I was like, what the hell?
And I don't have to, what are the commercials? They're like, come see a Black Magic.
No, it's fucking a reality show. And her being like, look at those bodies. It feels good to tell a man that he needs to lose some weight.
You know what it literally is? She already wrote the treatment for this reality show years ago in the Toni Braxton music video.
Remember yes! That?
What was the name of that? There's a Toni Braxton music video.
I get so high when I'm around you, baby.
Okay. I like that we both went to the Toni Braxton deep voice. She's got the Anita Baker.
Because that's how she sings.
But in that music video, it's literally her auditioning with Tisha Campbell, Maxine from, Friends, yes. But Living Singles, the black version of Friends.
Living Singles, black Friends.
What are you saying about that?
I'm saying that's true because she had some half-ass response on Twitter saying that she was sorry. She said some stupid shit like money is money, which is like, that's not an apology.
So actually in that sentence, I was saying that one was the lie. That was false. She has not apologized. She didn't really apologize. So I was quoting that as the lie. Oh,
so you're not counting her Twitter remark as an apology.
No, but I will say, I'll catch you guys up on what she did say. So she did say, you know, no gays are allowed at her new male strip venue in Vegas. And then she's having a reality TV show that's about the making of this.
And
I was like, well, I'm gonna audition, and so are a lot of other gays, and so oops, there's gonna be gays there. She said, but here's her quote. She said, people were like, what? And she said on the radio show she was on, she said, because there's no need to. They dance for women. It's called the ultimate girls' night out for a reason. And on that note, I'm actually gonna give her a pass on this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I said, I'm going to be a little controversial here. And
I know you are.
I am. I'm going to give her, because I like all the like, you know, gay blogs are, everyone's out for Vivica's blood or whatnot. And, you know, I saw Independence Day Resurrection and I feel sorry for her. So give her, she needs money.
She's a rich woman.
That movie Resurrection is insane and stupid. Anyways, but I'm going to give this to her because you know what? You know, for so long, we've been trying to say of like, hey, ladies, take your bachelorette parties out of our gay clubs. And she's literally creating a space. And so I have to say, it's like, and like every, like there's so many people who are so upset. And they're like, girl, bye. And like everyone's upset with her. And I'm just like, well, she wants to create a space for Ultimate Girls Night Out. And so I say, there should be more spaces for this because stay out of my club then. Not like stay out of my club, but like, I don't want your girls nights at my gay club. So like, for the same reason, like, us gays can't have it both ways. We can't say, get out, all of you ladies, and then I want to come to your space, too. So,
you know what, James? I have to applaud you because you actually, you, like, I was very much of, like, how dare she say something like that. But it's so true, where it's like everybody needs their own space. I just wish that she maybe said it better. Like, she said it how you said it.
Yeah, absolutely. And because, like, she had this one tweet, and she said, someone said, her response was, sure, as long as I've been a friend and supporter of the LGBT community, I've known them to have their own hot, exotic dancers to enjoy as well. So she did put that tweet out that, like, you know, and she's a support. I think she just was, she could have said it better. Absolutely. Right.
It's a space. And I feel like, and I hate to say this, this kind of goes, not I hate to say it, it's just the truth. A lot of times I feel like gay men sometimes use their male privilege over women a little bit. And this might be a little bit like,
I agree with you. And so, like, everyone was so upset with her, and I just needed to, again, everybody needs to meditate, take a step back, and, like, because the first initial step is to be so reactionary, and I think that's where we've been in so much. We kind of need to just take a step back, breathe a little bit, and see the bigger picture here. And so I say, go ahead, Vivica, create your space, do your thing. Ladies, go have your night out at Vivica's place. at her house. Go to Vivica's house.
All right.
So moving down, Frank Ocean's mom does want Kim Burrell cut from the there was a video. See, the internet never forgets, y'all. People be recording.
It doesn't.
People be recording shit. Somebody recording.
You need to watch what you're saying. Everybody got a camera now. Just don't be gross and homophobic and racist. Like, just don't do it.
Don't do it because someone at church filmed Kim Burrell. She was going on this huge tirade or like this, like she was speaking on the pulpit about, she called like gay people perverted. She was doing her preaching thing. She was then disinvited from Ellen. Yes.
Good.
Mean ass Ellen. You know, it turns out Ellen's like,
why the fuck was she even going on? Like, she's trying to eat her cake and have it too. And that's
she hasn't apologized. She said that she claims to speak God's truth. And it's God like, does not hate. Then why the fuck were you on Frank O's album trying to make that side money, you know?
Yeah, she's on Frank Ocean's album and she's going on Ellen and yet she secretly hates them.
Yeah.
Like, lady, come on.
Although Christopher Hooten of The Independent, he said, he actually says leave the track alone because he said there's actually something pretty baller about repurposing the voice of a homophobe for a song about everlasting love between two men. I think the quote of the song that she sings, I think she says, this love will keep us through this love will keep us through blinding of the eyes, silence in the ears, darkness in the mind. Yeah.
You know what? I kind of, actually, that's a good point. That's kind of like the ultimate ha, where it's like, oh, I'm going to use you to support my message.
See, once again, taking that step back and saying, like, how can we reframe? Remember, it's all about reframing, taking that step back. Torches down. I say 2017, torches down.
Put your torches down.
Put your torches down.
James, this is like subversive Quizlet Corner. I'm into it.
Take you on a journey. Now let's get silly.
Yes.
And then J-Lo, I think this is true. So everybody saw the Mariah Carey. I was in England and that's all
we saw. Everybody saw that shit.
We watched it for an hour. It's only a 5-minute clip, but we watched it for an hour. So you guys don't know Mariah. Please watch her New Year's Eve special. So Mariah, like, I even knew my ex Paul was telling me about how, like, he went to see Mariah in New York, and she can't be away from her teleprompter because she doesn't know her words and her lyrics.
She don't know anything anymore.
Doesn't go to her rehearsals, and, like, at one point on the mic, so she's like, the track is, like, the background track's playing, and she's like, don't I deserve a holiday? Don't I too deserve a holiday?
I fucking love Mariah. I think that we should also use this moment to plug her docuseries, which is the best thing ever on television right now. She literally, it's her jank ass tour through Europe.
Ooh.
And
her show is shabby. Her show is like falling to pieces. Good.
It's amazing. All of her talking heads, you know, when they have like Real Housewives and they sit and they talk at the camera.
Yeah.
She's always reclining and she's always in a bustier.
See, there she is.
And she always has a glass of wine.
She has a goblet. It's not a glass of wine. It's a fucking goblet. And she's just like, Mariah is just such a diva. In fact, you can watch Mariah's best diva moments on YouTube. And this is back in like 89 when she was like, you know, skinny face and like the big curly hair.
Big curlies.
And she's singing on some show and she's like, somebody's a little off key.
Yes!
To her background singers, and she gives like a side eye. Like, Mariah's always been a diva. My thing is, though, like, even divas have to rehearse, and even divas have to show up.
It's true.
Patti LaBelle learned this mistake. I bet Patti is so grateful that this is the new mess up that everyone is watching on the internet. It has put Patti's to shame. At least Patti powered through. Mariah just kind of...
Yeah, she did. She's saying that this Christmas until those backup singers showed up. You know what? I don't know. I just have a little gentle piece of my heart for Mariah Carey. I love her. I don't know why. I just, even when she does dumbass things like this, I'm just like, yes, you cannot do nothing wrong.
But I want to,
my heart.
I do want to applaud J-Lo because what people don't realize is J-Lo performed like 5 minutes before Mariah on a different, on a different network. And J-Lo fucking slayed it. She wore a sexier outfit than a similar outfit of Mariah, but sexier, and tore it up because she also, like, granted, J-Lo was in her residency in Las Vegas, so it was just
she's been working it out.
She's working out. She had enough rehearsals. Like, she fucking slayed. But it's just like this stupid war that I think is hilarious between J-Lo and Mariah. J-Lo won this one. She got it.
Oh, she did. She got New Year's Eve. But you know what? This whole Drake and J-Lo thing is so thirsty. I can't even handle it.
What Drake and J-Lo thing?
It is like, they're like joking around, telling the truth. Who knows? They're trying to say that they're a couple. I just think that they got a song coming out soon. Mark my words. J-Lo and Drake got a song coming out soon, and all this shit is fake. They aren't dating each other. But it's just so thirsty to me. It is like, come on, you guys. Both you guys are millionaires. You don't need to be doing this shit for the public.
No, you don't need all that. That is unnecessary. But yeah, if we can go to the... just touch on the horrific Facebook Live
event. This shit makes me so sad. It's so gross and so sad.
So this is actually the reason I was in England when this happened. And this is what that troll that I have. This is why I just blocked him, because out of nowhere, he sends me this message about, I don't know what's happened or anything. He sends me this message of like, you know, if this was, you know, the reverse of like four white guys.
That.
And he just, and I had no idea what he was talking about. And where he's coming from. And I said to him, it's like,
you're like,
where's my hello? Where's my, hey, how's it going? Like every time you message me something, it's something negative and to stir me up. I wish you the best in life. It sounds like you have a lot of negativity going on in your life. I don't need that in my life right now. So I wish you the best.
Like, why?
But you and I
are agitate
done.
You?
It's really, so people are trying to like, there's the hashtag that went out, Black Lives Matter kidnapping.
Okay, so for what people don't know is, just in case you haven't heard, there was a group of four
young
black
adults.
People. Yeah. Two men, two women. They took a mentally disabled white man.
He was 18 years old. He was also an acquaintance of theirs.
And tortured him.
Tortured him,
basically.
Abused him, and they broadcast it onto Facebook.
Facebook Live.
And so then what happened was is that folks then, you know, specific folks then started this, you know, hashtag trying to equate this to, you know, Black Lives Matter. The frustrating thing is, y'all, the actions of every black person in America are not the same as Black Lives Matter.
Hello? It's like, let's reverse it. Like, if you are a white person and then another white person does something racist, it doesn't mean that you are racist. Like, and just because four crazy ass black people decided to do a horrific thing doesn't mean that all black people now want to go and do horrific things.
Yeah, I don't look at like the mass shooters that go around in this country and say like all white people or whoever, you know, let's say one of these mass shooters was a Republican or a Democrat. I don't say, oh, all white Democrats are this. Oh, he's speaking for all white Democrats. You can't just link one thing to the other. And Glenn Beck, I take back what I said about you getting it, because you don't, because Glenn Beck hopped on this crazy train.
Oh, of course he did. I'm not
and
surprised.
It's like, let's, can we also remind ourselves, like, Black Lives Matter is a nonviolent movement advocating for dignity, justice, and respect.
So, literally, listen to the name of the movement. It is just basically telling people that our lives matter.
That's it. That's all it is about. And I just want to point out, like, you know, a lot of people were, I don't know if you know Sean King, who was like basically my neighbor. He lives like right over in Brooklyn, and like,
oh, you need to go hang out with him. Go get some coffee.
I do. And he like, I get his emails and stuff, and
oh my god,
I'm on his email list.
Oh yeah.
But he was fucking attacked by people being upset that he wasn't up in arms about this attack, and he got called racist, and that like they were like, well, why aren't you being all upset about this? And he had some really good points. He pointed out that, you know, the media was already covering this, you know, something that they don't do when it's usually a black person,
right?
And folks are also missing the point. What about this poor kid? That's where the attention needs to be.
About
this poor, I hope he's okay. Like, what about, like, this poor kid?
Is the kid all right? Is he safe? Is he, like, the four people who did the terrible act are in custody. They're getting the punishment that they deserve. You know, there's no injustice happening with what's happening, what's happening to the perpetrators, I guess. Is that?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Justice is being served here, right? And part of Black Lives Matter is that there is no justice when these unarmed black men are being killed by the police. And focus should be on the victim. And the same thing, that's what happens when, you know, we're talking about Black Lives Matter, where it focuses on the victim, you know, of like, what happened. And like, you know, tens of thousands of black folks have stood up against police brutality to even what happens to white folks. That people protest and stand out into the streets. So it's like, the focus is wrong and the narrative is wrong. And I just say, be aware. And also just like focus on, like, again, it goes back to like intentions of like, you know, if you have people coming at you with like crazy shit of like trying to start fires about this, it just might not even be really worth your own breath. And like, really just, again, this year has to be focusing on self-love, community love, and just refocusing the attention towards, you know,
positivity.
The positivity and the healing that needs to get done, because the media is missing. The media is missing it. I was at the gym today and CNN was like covering someone got a promotion in Fox News. That's what fucking CNN was covering.
That's bullshit.
Like, really? CNN, go fuck yourself. Go, that's like, bullshit. 24-hour news cycle. Go that's report on something fucking
like,
real.
When something is brought up that feels kind of fishy, like, the whole thing, and I'm so glad that you're bringing this up, because it's like people are using it for their own agendas. Like, when something tragic happens and they take a wild U-turn to try and prove their own agenda, something is wrong. Like, it was fucked up for these four people to do this to this young man. But they're getting punished. And let's pay attention to how he's doing and if he's doing all right, like you said. And if somebody is going out of their way to use this as a way to prove that Black Lives Matter is a militant movement, then maybe you need to look at that person and go, what's your problem? Absolutely. Why are you using this abuse of this young man to prove your case, your racism? You know,
I agree.
It's crazy.
I agree with you fullheartedly. So
can we not torture people too? Let's just stop doing that. Like, come on. If you are in a group of four people and one person goes, hey, let's do something fucked up, maybe be the fourth person to go like, yeah, let's not do that.
Yes. Where was that other voice, that fourth voice? What's interesting is I actually saw a play. It was almost about this sort of idea. It was these four Black folks who were past, like, you know, if you have like on a spectrum of like Black Lives Matter, they were like where this group of people were. And they were like this extreme activist who wanted, you know, justice. They wanted to make a statement, and they kidnapped this just like this, you know, yuppie white guy, and they were going to murder him and film it.
Oh,
and
shit.
There was a huge debate and conversation the entire way. And just like, and they all were coming from different sort of Black perspectives and what they were trying to do and what they were trying to get across and mean. Wow. And there was like one, like a guy from Argentina.
You've been in Europe for too long.
Argentina, who was a part of the group and part of the debate. And it's just interesting because it's like, oh my God, I saw this in a play. They did not, and I won't tell you what happens. The play is really interesting, really captivating, and fascinating.
And it's a play. It's not real life. Like, it's a play is used as an allegory.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, a vehicle to have these discussions.
Which is fascinating.
I texted my friend Tim. I was like, Tim, your play, like, fucking just came to life. Like, and he was like, which play? Oh my God. Scary. Yeah. So, also terrible. To end on a more positive, uplifting note, too, circling back to Mariah. Like what you were saying, we need to uplift Mariah while she's still here. Because what happens is these celebrities die and then everyone wants to love them.
Yep.
You know? We need to love them while they're still here. Everybody just like ridicules the shit out of them. Like, now everybody's like loves George Michael. And now everybody, you know, I mean, I guess everybody always loved Prince, but like with like Whitney Houston and like The Bodyguard, right? Now she got a musical. Where was that musical when she was still alive? So we need to love and appreciate these celebrities that we apparently love so much while they're still alive.
Exactly.
So Mariah had a mishap, whatever, let her move on. Let's have a giggle, have a laugh,
let her live her life. She's still Mariah Carey.
Watch it as many times as you need to, but you need to like still appreciate her. She does deserve it, even though, you know,
right? Like, there's a reason we know about Mariah Carey, is because she brought us joy for so many years.
I still would encourage her to go to rehearsal.
Yeah.
I just, if she can take anything away from this, go to rehearsal, Mariah.
Yeah.
All right, Aneke, you won this quiz at corner. You did it.
I'm starting the new year off right.
Hey, guys, this is Adam Conover. You may know me from my True TV show, Adam Ruins Everything. Well, guess what? Now we're doing a podcast version right here on Maximum Fun. What we do is we take all the interesting, fascinating experts that we talk to for just a couple minutes on the show, and we sit with them for an entire podcast, really going deep and getting into the fascinating details of their work. Find Adam Ruins Everything wherever you get your podcasts or at MaximumFun.org.
And I will always love you. Isn't that weird
this
that we both started
this is your
audition.
Your reel. Yeah, your reel that you're sending to the West End.
Which is silly. I don't need to. I just need to dance. I just need to do body rolls. And then
stop it.
I'm doing too much. I need to do a little less.
Why are body rolls like the lowest denomination for dance moves?
But let me, like, I think they were good body rolls. And what I love, I mean, they were hitting it. It just was like, there was nothing like, they weren't doing, like, crazy gymnastic type shit.
Nobody was doing no backflips.
It was very boy bandy, and it was like, oh, I can fucking hit. And my dream is to be in a pop star, like, musical. And so my eyes were
we'll
like,
we'll get you bing, in there.
Bing, 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 bing.
We will. Lee Daniels, take note. This is the new.
Well, he needs to step it up, and him and I will need to have some words. I have notes. I have notes, Lee Daniels.
Give him some notes.
Well, it's been a great episode. Welcome back, everybody. Brand new year. Keep them. Keep that positive on the positive.
Keep that positive on the positive. Keep it up. It's good.
Get that on a pillow. So how can they reach out to us and touch us?
You can touch us through electronically. On Twitter, we are on Minority Corner spelled with a K on the Twitters. Join our Facebook. We got two Facebook things going on. Like us on Facebook. Woo. With our page, which is Minority Corner with a K. And then we also have the Corner Kids Playground.
Yes.
All you got to do is search it. Just type in Minority Corner. Remember, spell corner with a K. Playground. And then I'm telling you, I approve at least one or two people per day for the playground.
And it's really dope. There are all kinds of shit that people are like saying in there of like, just like, I need help with this, or I have ideas about this, or I'm selling. Yes. Like, it's just all kinds of great stuff. It's a beautiful, beautiful community. So
it's really nice. Everybody's interacting with each other, posting different things. It's a small but mighty group. And I want it to continue to grow. I love just popping on there and seeing the interactions. I don't interact as much as James does. I'm like a silent partner because I'm mysterious.
She's creepy is what she's saying. Creepy Aneke. And you can see because it's like Aneke saw this. Like you can see like seen by. And it's like she saw it. Yeah.
Ew,
I
weird.
I see that you seen it.
Gross. Also, we got an Ask Minority Corner anything that's coming up next week. But keep them coming. Keep sending us.
Keep them coming in.
With a record your voice. You can email that. Remember, you record it as a voice memo on your phone and then just email it to minoritycorner spelled with a K, @gmail.com. And we'll get that and we'll put you on the show. We're so excited for whenever we get a new one.
Yeah, it's very exciting because there's always such good conversations around it.
It's
so
nice. You guys are like sending us like such thought-provoking. I'm just like so impressed with our audience. Like you guys are amazing people.
Y'all are the gift that keeps on giving. So I hope you all are having a wonderful, great new year. Mm-hmm. And have a great week.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
And we're the host of Rose Buddies. It's a podcast about the Bachelor family of products.
We watch The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes, it is garbage television, but we're the king and queen of this garbage pile. We're the raccoons in charge around here.
So join us on Tuesdays.
Because the TV show's on Mondays. And basically, we'll recap what we saw, and we'll just sort of scoop the garbage around us and make a little fort out of it.
No viewing required.
But it's a good TV show. What are you doing?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.